could have the first, the title, would be great. Okay, well, it's great to be here, and I've been attending the healing encounter during the weekend, so I've taken leave for an hour and may join for the last session before that comes to an end. But I've got to say, it's been absolutely brilliant, and when the next one comes up, I think it's in June sometime, the healing encounter, different to the new believers encounter. If you've been on one of our new believers encounters, then you're very welcome to go on the, it takes things a little bit deeper, but it's been really, really good teaching, and there's about 25 people downstairs continuing with that. So it's been really good. I want to talk today, and somebody said, well, why are you on the healing encounter and you're talking as well? Well, part of the reason is I'm away for the next couple of weeks. Jackie and I are going to Colombia next Saturday. So if you didn't realize, I'm not going to be around. We're not going to be around for a couple of Sundays. And I just felt I wanted to share on the second C, which I felt the Lord give me over Christmas that we need to talk on. The first one was being character. Done a couple of weeks on that. And this one is called community, building community. And I think that's really important for us too. I do believe these are foundational aspects which the Lord just wants to remind us of, and which I believe will enable him to build something strong which is going to be glorious to his name in this town and in this nation. So what I'm talking about today, when I looked through my notes again, I realized it's mainly theoretical. I mean, there's challenges in it, but I really would want to encourage you in cells to be picking up the issues of character, but also the issues of community. How do we make it work? I'm not going to be telling you how to make it work. I'll be sharing some of the things which I believe are important to community. But how do we make it work will be very good, I think, for cells to pick up and to begin to grapple with so that we can develop that even further. So we were looking at character. And character is, it needs working at. We all need to work at character. It's an important foundation. Great works of faith and gift can come tumbling down in one moment of bad character. You know, we've read the stories, we've heard the, it was seen in the press, you know, whether it be politicians, whether it be mega church leaders, whether it be in church or ministry, wherever it is, bad character destroys what could have been built up with tremendous gift. And so it's so important that we establish good character in our lives and in our church. I don't know whether it's just a Daily Mail thing, but I've been just picking up a little bit about the French president at this moment in time, you know, and the different liaisons he's had, and France don't deal with it in the same way that we do, evidently. But I'm just thinking, whatever the case, whatever the truth, integrity is undermined with somebody with such a high standing in the French government, well, the top man, the top guy. And all this is going on underneath. And integrity is so important for leaders. And whatever the truth of it, you know, there's just some undermining there because of bad character. One of the favorite parts of the Lord's Prayer I pray regularly is, Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. I often pray that prayer, especially when I want to react to a situation. Or when there's a sinful situation I'm feeling tempted in. And I believe it's important that we pray that prayer because he gives us grace not to go down the ways of which are ungodly, but that we remain faithful and true to the calling with which he's called us with. So, character. I won't say anything more about that, but it's an important aspect. I want to look at community. Community I sort of took for granted a number of years ago, but I'm beginning to realize more and more it's a relegated value in our society for many reasons, which I won't go into. But where there's a loss of community, we end up with a fragmented society, and actually that's what we live in, a fragmented society. To some extent, it's become counterculture in our society. Often people, or men or women and women, you know, they work long hours, they leave home early, they get back late. Then when they get back in, they're tired, they shut the door, they turn the television on, have their dinner, sit in front of the telly, go to bed, and the same thing happens the next day. And for many, many people, they can go for weeks without any other connection other than family and work colleagues. And community is being challenged. Whereas at one time, of course, that was totally different in our society, and it still is in many societies of the world. We live in an individualistic society. We have a Western mindset. And we often fail to see the importance that God attaches to community because of our mindset and our culture. For example, if you read through the New Testament, you will see times when it's not just individuals which give their lives to the Lord, and personal response is very, very important. But in the New Testament, it's often families and households and even our whole villages turning to the Lord. There's a corporate dimension, and there's a corporate dimension to the gospel. There's a corporate dimension to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Community is important in the Godhead, and community is in God's heart for us. His heart is for the nations of the world. It's not just individuals. It's the whole world. And actually, he's chosen people to reach the whole world. In the Old Testament, God called a man, Abraham. But the intention was, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a family. And your family is going to be such a blessing that the nations of the world will be blessed through that community, through that family. And as we read through the Old Testament, we realize that Israel didn't fulfill what God had intended for them to fulfill. But God's dream lived on. He didn't give up then, so he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus came and he established a church which was made up of Jewish believers and Gentile believers too. So it's a broader community now, Jew and Gentile together, the cross having broken down that wall of partition. And together, as the household of God, as the family of God, his intention is exactly the same, that we make known the glory of God, the gospel of God, the good news to the nations of this world. And so his hope now rests on us. We've been grafted in to those promises which Israel had, the church, the people of God. It's the church which is the city on a hill. It's the church which shines in darkness. It's the church which brings salt and light, or is salt and light. It's the church which is the hope of the world. And what is church? Church isn't a building. You know, and we were very specifically named. The pavilion was the home of LifeSpring Church. This isn't LifeSpring Church. This is a building. This is a place to meet in. But the church isn't even a meeting. The church is people. It's the people of God, ordinary people like you and like me, brought together, washed by the blood of Jesus and saved. That's what makes up the church. And of course, we're just part of the church in this town. There's 100 other congregations, more than 100 other congregations, meeting in Reading and across the UK and across the world. That is the church. It's the people of God. And that's why Christians, not connected with church, is a completely foreign notion in the New Testament. How can you be saved and baptized into the body of the church, into the church, if you're not actually part, if you're not joined? It's a foreign concept. Praise God, for those of us which are meeting here, it's not foreign. And we are able to express something of that life which he wants to bring to us and through us. You see, I have a vision for us to be a church where everyone can feel accepted, where everyone can feel they belong. There's always going to be circles within circles. There's always going to be particular groups of friendships which will be stronger maybe than others. But the challenge is, but let's be inclusive. Let's watch our language. You know, when we're down there in the Cafe 12 area, when we're meeting in our cells, when we're meeting wherever we're meeting in our social things together, let your in-house language, when it's just language that people at the church know all about, it actually excludes others which may not be aware what we're talking about. We need to watch our language. We need to be inclusive. Let's look out for the lonely and the hurting, because this is the community of God. The rejected. Let's be hospitable. You see, it's not just when we meet here, our homes can express the life and the love of God. Let's turn off our TV more and let's invite people around more. Let's have coffee more. Let's have meals. Let's have games. Let's have prayer. Let's have friendship together. The community of God meeting in different small groups around the town. Let's reach out across ages and genders and embrace each other, especially the family of God. When Lena and Carolina come in 5-6 weeks' time, we'd like an event in the evening. We have some thoughts. But I want it to be something that the young people want to come to, as well as what the older people in the church would like to come to, and all of us in between. Because it's an expression of family, community. We're coming together. And I want Lena and Carolina not just to do meetings, but I want them just to have relax and have fun and enjoy time with us. Because that's church. Amen. So if you've got ideas, let James know. Is that right, James? We already have some ideas, but let James know if you've got any other ideas. Yes, you see, we're a people with a vision. And our values are based on the Word of God. And sometimes we make mistakes, and we get things wrong. And sometimes people feel excluded unnecessarily. But I want to bring a challenge to us today, and the challenge is to create community across cultures, across classes, across interest groups, across ages, across genders. We are the church. We are His family, a new community, all one in Christ Jesus. Our challenge is to demonstrate that to each other and to the world. Amen. Is that what, do you want to be part of that community? That's what we need to do. Across all the barriers which divide, but to see Jesus glorified because He's put us together as His family. Now, I've gone for 10 minutes without reading scripture, so here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and towards the end of his sermon, he says this, Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for all your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded them with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's the first day of the church, and 3,000 were added in one day. And it goes on to say, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, hallelujah indeed. Amen. I love those verses. I love the book of Acts. At the beginning of the chapter, we're told about one of the most significant days in Christian history, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon 120 men and women as they waited and they prayed. Jesus had said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father. I'm not sure that they knew what they were meant to be waiting for. But anyhow, on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a rushing wind. There was tongues of fire came on their heads. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other languages and other tongues. And they praised God. They appeared apparently like drunk men. Such was the intensity of this outpouring. This was their Holy Spirit baptism. It transformed their lives. They were saved before, but now their lives were transformed, totally changed. It was a complete immersion in the Spirit of God. Their timidity, praying behind locked doors, was replaced with a holy boldness. And the gospel was preached, and as we read, 3,000 people in one day were saved. And then we read those verses towards the end of that chapter. The results of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And if you were to ask me, what are the signs of an outpouring of the Spirit? And at one time I would have said, well, I guess it's tongues, speaking in different languages, it's spiritual gifts, it's a supernatural dimension of God at work, which of course it's all of that too. And I would have thought very much along the lines of spiritual stuff. But what I see described here is community. Their lives were changed because the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them. Fire came down from heaven, and rather than discussing with each other who's the greatest among themselves, rather, as they had just done a few weeks earlier, wanting to call fire from heaven to consume those which were laughing at them, rather than being reluctant to serve and to wash each other's feet, and Jesus had to set an example to them, the Holy Spirit filled their lives and everything changed. Can I just quickly tell you a little thing here? That happened to me once. Everything changed. When I was 19, everything changed. And I, one of the things my dad noticed that he was offering to do the washing up. I'd never done that before. Whenever I was asked to do the washing up, And it was after a few weeks, my dad noticed something was different. And it wasn't that I was speaking in tongues. It wasn't that I was going to a lot more meetings. It wasn't this, it wasn't that. It was a simple little thing. He's offering to help. Something had changed. God had come into my life. And I began to change. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Wouldn't we want more people offering to do washing up? So we read in here Acts 2. It's a beautiful picture of church. And it's still one of my longings to see at least this expression of church developed and manifest more and more in our lives together. And so it was a baptism of the Spirit which produced the fruit of the Spirit. And I notice here there was a devotion to certain things. It wasn't an arm-twisting thing. It wasn't, you've got to go to another meeting today. Aren't you going? You didn't go last week. Every day they met together. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They wanted to listen to the teaching of their leaders. They were devoted to sharing meals and breaking bread together. They were devoted to prayer, church. Devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer and for fellowship. This was just normal Christian life. I mean, this was just how it all birthed and was started. His presence was so evident in the community. The supernatural was displayed, and there were signs, and there were wonders, and there was healings. Normal New Testament Christianity. There was love, there was unity. They looked out for each other, they shared their lives together, and not just the meetings. But they did meet. They had their cells, they met every day in their homes, and in their temple courts, which would be the bigger congregation, because obviously the homes weren't big enough, probably nor was the temple, probably weren't allowed to meet in the temple. So they met outside in the temple courts. And I love the description of the church, full of praise and worship, manifest presence, gladness and joy, and a sincerity of heart were all characteristics of this New Testament church. And then that last little sentence I absolutely love. And every day, people were being added to the church. I remember sitting in a little brethren assembly 35 years ago, reading those verses and thinking, wow, every day. 35 years or so on, I'm thinking, well, why not? Could be every week. Why not every day? People being added to the church. Wouldn't it be great just to hear about different people in cells giving their lives to the Lord, different people in Refresh and toddlers giving their lives to the Lord, different people on Sundays just coming and giving their lives to the Lord. That was normal New Testament Christianity. I believe we should be expecting that and going for that. I love this church. I love it. Historians tell us that this church grew to probably about 50,000 within a relatively short period of time. Out of a city, Jerusalem, at that time, the size of 250,000. If they're true, that's 20% of that city were saved and were part of this church. That's a good vision to go for as well, isn't it? It's about the same size as us, actually. Reading's about 250,000. The church in Reading, even if it wasn't just LifeSpring, but just imagine 50,000 Christians, believers, enjoying the presence of God, seeing miracles, every day people being added, loving each other, caring for each other, sharing their lives together. I have a few heroes. Nicky Gumbel is becoming more and more one of my heroes. Nicky Gumbel's the vicar of an Anglican church in London, big church, 10,000 people, I'm told now or so. And somebody said to him a few years ago, "Nicky, you know, what is the success? Why are you so successful? Why do people keep coming to HTB?" And he said something along these lines. He said, "Well, we do good church. We do good services. We do good marriages. We do good funerals. And because it's good, people like to come." And I was expecting something more spiritual. I was expecting something a little bit more inspirational. I thought, how simple. I was at a church in Redding, California, a few years ago. And I said to the person there, I said, "Why is it that you are seeing hundreds of people saved every year, and the church down the road is seeing very, very few?" He said, "We probably pray for more people." I thought, oh. I was expecting something more than that, but they give a lot more opportunity for prayer. They're praying for 1,000, and they might see 10% saved. They're praying for 10 here, and they see one person saved. You know, maybe the percentages are the same, but they're just giving that opportunity more. I thought some of these things are a little bit more simple than we sometimes think they might be. And I think we should do good church. That's my aim. If that's going to bring people in, let's do good church. And good church is with Jesus and the gospel at the center. And when good church has Jesus and the gospel at the center, it will be irresistible. Not just good funerals and marriages. We should be doing good cells, good youth work, good worship, good work in the community. Really blessed that that's developing now here. It needs to be our aim to do everything good and put Jesus in the center. And let's see what he wants to build around us. I'm running out of time. Moving on. Community is about belonging. We all need to know we belong somewhere. We all have that inbuilt need to feel we belong. Some of us have been orphaned. Some of us might not know our mum and dad. Some of us have been rejected by mums and dads. Maybe we've never even known our parents. But the Church of Jesus Christ is your family, or can become your family. You need to know that you're welcome here. And we want you to feel that you belong. He sets the lonely in families. And that's a response on our part, church, to reach out into our homes, into our lives, so that the lonely can be embraced and added in to our church. Community is about acceptance. Paul says this, "Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you." We all need to know we're accepted. We might have different theological views. We might have different political views. We might have different moral views. But we need to know that we are accepted here, all of us, whatever our background and experiences. I'm not saying that we've got to stay as we are, because God wants to change us to be more like him. But whatever you are, whoever you are, this needs to be a community where you feel you're accepted. And you don't feel held at arm's length, but you're embraced and drawn into the life of the church. I'm challenged. I love the fact that we have some different nationalities coming more regularly here from anywhere outside of Britain. I'm challenged by the fact, because I want to know how to not accommodate, but how we can be family together. How our different cultures can serve each other and we can be respectful of different cultures. I think it's brilliant because it's a multifaceted picture of the church as we have different nations meeting with us. Hallelujah. You need to be accepted. You need to know that you're accepted. Community is about belonging and acceptance. And in the 5 minutes I've got left, I want to just talk about three different other aspects of community. The church, a community of the Spirit. That's what I described in Acts. It was a community of the Spirit. You can see these verses here. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But it talks about there, verse 22, in him, in Jesus, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are supposed to be a community of the Holy Spirit. The sign that we are saved is that the Spirit of God has come. In the Old Testament, it was a different sign for the men. Don't know what the women had. They didn't have a sign. The men just included the women. But for us, for the New Testament, it's the sign that we are saved. It's the Spirit of God has come. It's not that we've got a particular creed. It's not that we've got a particular theology. The Spirit of God has come. So when Peter goes to Cornelius' house and he sees all these Gentiles which could never be saved in his thinking, even before he'd finished preaching the message, the Spirit of God came down upon them. He thought, wow, well, that's a sign that they're saved too. They must be the people of God too. The sign was the Spirit of God. We are meant to be a community of the Spirit. The Spirit living among us. And he wants us to be built into a dwelling where he can live comfortably. I think it's incredible. Not a stone temple. I don't know what I think about those predictions of another stone temple being built, but a temple made out of lives being built together, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Men and women, black and white, young and old, rich and poor, all being built together into a temple where God can live by his Spirit. I love that, don't you? And when he lives here, well, I'm not saying when, he is now, I hope, as he lives here, his life will flow. Abundant life, supernatural life, healings, hope, love, grace, peace, forgiveness, joy. There will all be evidences he's among them. Amen? It's a community of the Spirit. Peter says, you know, he says, let them see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Because the Spirit of God will be alive in us, changing our lives. And people will notice the difference which he's making. Moving on, a community of love. Paul prays that we may experience, verse 19, the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete. This is an incredible prayer from Paul, that we'd really understand the love of Christ. I mentioned about the healing encounter. One of the subjects is there about not just knowing about, but experiencing the love of God. Because Paul prays that we're able to grasp and understand. It's not just a head thing, but we know in our knower that we are loved. Why is that so important? It's important for us. But if we don't know that we've loved, we can't give his love away. His love is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Peter says we love him and we love us, each other, because he's first loved us. So we need to receive that love in order to give it away and love others. The church should be a community of love. We saw the picture in Acts 2 where we love him and we love each other. There's many verses which I could give you to, you know, many instructions, you know, what Jesus said, what the apostles said. I just want to leave you this definition from Sarah, though, Sarah Burnham. Love equals selflessness. I inconvenience myself so that someone else can feel loved. Now, why don't we have that as an aim in our lives? I inconvenience myself so that someone else can feel loved. I want everybody here to know that they are loved. We need to catch that from the Lord. But as we love each, as the Lord reveals that to us, then we can shed that love in our hearts too for others. And lastly, the church, a community of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all peace, all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is such an important aspect. We should be the happiest people in Reading. We should be the people of hope. Our hope comes from him. A sure and certain hope of salvation. A sure and certain hope of sins forgiven. Of eternal life. It doesn't start when we die. That starts now. He's given us visions and dreams. There may be gloom and darkness in the world. There may be concerns and anxiety outside here. But Isaiah says, arise, shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises on you. Darkness might cover the earth, but the Lord arises on his people. That's why we should be men and women of hope. Things we've relied on may shake or fall. Communism has fallen. Maybe capitalism will too. Who knows what will happen with the European Union or the euro or the pound or Islam, the rise of Islam in this country? I have no idea. But the writer to the Hebrews says this. Doesn't say that. He says, doesn't. He says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God with reverence and awe. Everything is going to be shaken. But the people of hope have a sure and certain hope and foundation. We're a kingdom people. And the only thing that's not going to be shaken is the kingdom of God. We're part of a people group which is going to live forever. The church will never die. It lives on through eternity. And one day we'll be with him forever here on earth. And then that verse comes true. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The kingdom has come. Jesus has come. What an incredible hope. We are the community of hope. Okay, you might have some struggles at the moment. You might have some financial difficulties. It might be difficult at home. It might be difficult to pay the mortgage. You might not have a job. There might be relational issues. Yes, but hang on to the hope that he's given us. You know, some of these things are temporary. They're painful at the time. And we need to support and help each other. But there's a much bigger picture out there. There's a much bigger picture that we're going to live with him forever. And we're going to be with him. And we've got a hope, and we've got life, and we've got peace in our hearts because he's come. So life spring with a community of hope. And as people come in worried and hopeless and desperate and broken, they shouldn't just find love and acceptance, but they should also find hope touching their lives and joy, peace, and the kingdom because he's living here among his people. So guys, will you help me build community here? Will you help us take it further? Community of love, community of hope, a community of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it'd be irresistible. Amen. I'm going to pray and ask Johnny just to close the meeting. Wow. Lord, I just thank you for what incredible imagination you had when you decided to invest in ordinary people and set your hope in them that the world might see and know. Lord, I thank you for church. I thank you for community. I thank you for friendships and relationships. Lord, I want to pray that you'll just fill us with your love, with your hope, and with your spirit, that we might live as the people of God and be a blessing to the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen.